too. Feeling like I'm, you know, I brought my pen, but I did bring my pen.
So we're live now.
Good. Sarah, please, are you okay?
You're in charge.
Oh.
I forgot, Mr. Bolt isn't here. If we're all prepared, let's get started.
Good morning, councilors. Coy Enns with Community Planning, here with the project team, project manager Jose Alvarez, Jackie Camp, and Jenna Kay, who's our new planner. Today at council work session for February 7th, we're here to talk about phase two of the freight rail dependent use project. Just as an overview, very, very briefly, last October we embarked upon phase one of the project, which was adopted by council on January 9th, and that was to create the policies and the comprehensive plan text and to initiate the overlay. So phase two is dealing with the development code. Discussion items for today is the advisory committee getting some parameters on definitions and some instructions really to the committee who's going to be reviewing this so that we have an opportunity to focus their attention. After their information is ready as a proposal, we'd like to come back to council at work session and review that prior to going out to the community. Okay. So with that, Jose.
All right. So like Colette said, the discussion items are going to be the advisory subcommittee, the use list, definitions, environmental review, and then the next steps. Just a quick overview. Last year, the legislature passed ESB 5517, and we proposed two phases to implement the legislation. The first phase was to amend our comprehensive plan and create an overlay map. So we amended our land use policies, transportation policy, transportation strategies, and again created the freight rail dependent use overlay map that you approved earlier this year.
And Jose, that overlay map for the purposes of the comp plan update was just from 119th up to the southern part of Battleground, correct?
It was just south of the Brush Prairie Rural Center.
Okay.
Right. About 149.
And then 500 feet.
Right,
on
500
both
feet
sides.
On both sides. So the second phase for the Title 40 development code amendments, I looked at this again yesterday with, I hadn't looked at it in a while, but the develop a new overlay with list of uses is not a new overlay map. But we have a section in our code that lists different overlays, like surface mining, for example. So what we're proposing is to create a new overlay that's freight rail dependent use, and that's where the use list would go, and all of these Title 40 amendments primarily would go in this new section of code. So that's what we mean with the new overlay. We would include site plan requirements, and then the other issue would be the process for future overlay revisions if we wanted to expand the existing, which I think was talked about at the end of phase one. So we would come up with what the process is going to be for that, and that will be in the Title 40.
So just one question about developing a new overlay list. Is there a list that exists now?
No.
Okay. So we are developing.
But there's a framework for a past railroad overlay?
We have
a framework to start
right.
from.
And we're going to get into that.
Okay.
We have a framework, and we're maybe turning that on its head based on the language in the legislation.
Right. Right.
And so that's one of the things we want you to give us some feedback on. So the first item is the advisory subcommittee. Currently, the Rural Advisory Board subcommittee is made up of 9 members. It's represented CREDC, the City of Battleground. We have a commercial industrial broker, the operator of the Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad, the Port of Vancouver is represented, and essentially 4 folks that are at large that are part of the Railroad Advisory Board, the chair and the vice chair included in that. But they don't have any affiliation to any other agency, but they've been involved with the Railroad Advisory Board for a number of years. Through the process of phase one, we did get some public comment about having a broader community input through the committee. We received a letter about our public participation plan from the Department of Commerce, also sort of encouraging us to expand or to get broader community input through that group. So the thing that we're proposing is expanding the advisory subcommittee to include member from maybe one of each of those organizations, the Parks Advisory Board, Farm Bureau, someone from the neighborhood association that's close by, and potentially friends of Clark County.
So if we were to add some additional members, we probably wouldn't want to call it the Railroad Advisory Subcommittee, since these folks aren't on the Railroad Advisory Board.
Correct.
So it would be a different group.
I think some of the people who are on the subcommittee now are not on the advisory board.
No, they all are.
They're all on the...
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So one of the things that we would have to do if you move forward in this angle is we would need to come back and update the public participation plan that you adopted early on that would identify the members of the group that's looking at this and any future scope of work.
So you have some suggestions up there. Can you kind of go through what the stake, how each is a stake, clearly Brush Prairie Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So can you just give some idea of why you chose these to offer up and maybe?
So the Parks Advisory Board, when the Rural Advisory Board was first put together in 95, one of the elements was to have someone from the parks on there because of the potential for rails to trails, and that's still sort of in our plans. So it might make sense to have someone representing that point of view.
I think there's a trail planned all along the rail line, isn't there? Yeah, the Chulachi Prairie Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
The Farm Bureau, because of the ag and the compatibility with these uses, we thought that might be appropriate to give us some perspective on what things may or may not be compatible with agricultural uses. From their perspective, Friends of Clark County, because of their interest in the project, we know they have some concerns, and it'd be beneficial to have them at the table involved in the process.
Okay, so back to the Park Advisory mm-hmm. Board and the rails and trails. To me, it seems a little incongruent to have a trail next to a railroad that is an operating railroad and industrial things alongside it. So that plan may not work anymore because of the change in the legislature and the change in the GMA. So I'm not sure that really is something that should be considered because it can't be safe. Number one. Number
I'm not
two,
sure that's accurate. But.
Number two, it would be these properties are going to have to be pretty close to the railroad, and if you have to set aside a trail for the public to use, and yet you're going to have a business that's rail dependent, it doesn't make sense to me. So we'll think about that. I mean, that's something that we should think about because I don't see that as being a viability any longer.
And I think that's a very important point, and that point has come up all through the process.
Yeah.
Is how do we combine a parks and trails plan with making sure that we have safety in mind, because we're inviting people to be there, and as the rail is more and more successful, it'll be busier and busier, and we're going to have to address that. So
it's good points. That's why we're bringing it up.
Yeah.
No,
No.
I have those same concerns about safety with the trail along the rail, but I don't think that's a reason to not have them. I think having their voice on that to look at evaluating that in the big picture is still valuable. I mean, it may be the result that we have to reevaluate that Rails and Trails program, but I think having their voice on that committee may help shape the conversation the right way. Okay, if we are going to move away from that, what are the alternatives? Can we, with the development regulations, provide other connections to other trails? I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I think that voice, they may have ideas that we should consider as we're moving forward. So I would be supportive of including them on there. And because of the concerns raised, not saying that those aren't valid, but I think because of those concerns, their voice should be included.
It could provide you input so that if you do decide to change what the policy has been, you'll get that, the benefit of their information and seeing.
Right.
Okay.
And back to the advisory committee. Is there going to be action? Are we going to make a decision on this today, or are we just opening this up for future discussion? Or
I think so. The decision would be if you give us direction to pursue this, we would come back with a formal action to amend the PPP.
Okay.
I would be supportive of the first three groups on there. My concern with the last group is the county's been involved with litigation over previous things, and it seems likely that we may be headed towards litigation with them over this again. So I think inviting them into the huddle when we know they're likely to sue us at the end of all that, I mean, that just makes me a little bit nervous. Not that we don't want their input.
Sure.
But I think through the rest of the public comment process is the more appropriate way to hear their concerns.
And I think they will be, I'm sure we'll get their input.
They haven't been
pretty
shy
regularly
in the past.
doing input. So.
And I guess that would be my question. If any of these groups aren't on the subcommittee, part of the public participation
process.
Plan can include, I just want to make sure that we're really clear that as we go through this process that we're going to try to get as much input as we can from a variety of stakeholders who have a variety of opinions, and that we get to the best solution with regard to development regulations. And so I want to make sure that everybody's heard, but they don't always have to have the same seat. Does that make sense?
Okay. And I would, now the Farm Bureau, what you talked about agricultural uses, and that's why you want to include the Farm Bureau?
So one of the things that we're doing is since the freight rail dependent uses overlay
on
traverses
ag-land.
Over resource land, and we're trying to make those, the uses still need to be compatible and not preclude agricultural activity, it'd be good to have some input from them to see what types of uses they from their perspective would be something that's not that's detrimental to continuing in agricultural.
That they might just be able to give some ideas on how to do that.
Right.
So I want to ask about the inclusion of Brush Prairie Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're talking about a large expanse of rail through Clark County here. So they are one of the most affected neighborhoods. Do we have any other neighborhood associations which have demonstrated an interest or concern and would be substantially impacted by this?
Currently, we have not heard from any other neighborhood association,
mm-hmm.
but our normal public process is to go through NAC to get a comprehensive look, and we would propose to do that again.
But it would be important that maybe someone from planning go to NAC because if we two-step this all through the county manager's office and we miss somebody, that can bounce back on us. So it'd be important how we approach that. So what we don't want to do is get to a certain point ready to go and have people come in at the last minute with concerns indicating I did not know this was going on. That just, this is preventive medicine here. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So I guess what I think I've heard on this proposal is that we would open up the committee to include someone from the Parks Advisory Board, a Farm Bureau representative or an ag representative, and the Brush Prairie Neighborhood Association, identifying that when we do our public involvement process that we will include all neighborhoods in the communication tree to make sure that everybody's voice is heard.
And I might just, for clarification, say we're actually creating another. We're not expanding the subcommittee. We're creating an advisory committee.
Just absolutely. We'll rename nitpicky. It. We'll come back under the PPP. Next one.
So the bill has a definition of freight rail dependent uses. I highlighted in green the two words that are sort of used as reinforcements. Transport of goods where the use is dependent on and makes use of an adjacent short line railroad. Provided a definition from the American Heritage Dictionary, and the two definitions that most likely that are most applicable, I think makes use of is pretty self-explanatory. I think what we're thinking of here in terms of makes use of the bill is really intended to focus on the railroad, and the uses are intended for those uses to be able to use or rely on the railroad. And so it's reinforced in this language. How to implement that is one of the things that we're going to address under the makes use of. We discussed the restrictions on property that require freight rail use, perhaps covenants. We had a brief conversation about this with the advisory subcommittee originally in terms of, you know, the first user, we might get someone who's going to have the property and use the rail uses that we have yet to define. But subsequent, if that business goes out of business and they have to sell the property, how are we going to ensure that those uses maintain using the rail? And so there aren't a lot of tools we have other than sort of covenant and deed restrictions. So just for your awareness, that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at to sort of make that connection. So given this context of a strong reliance on the railroad, we thought it would be good to start with having an understanding of what the commodities, how it's being used now, what commodities are being shipped on the rail line, and what shippers are using the rail line. We've got this list from the from Eric Temple, who's with the Junction Railroad. So there's a range of things from roofing, plastic pellets, sand, soybean, large transformers, gas, mineral oil, slag, and track materials. The shippers aren't necessarily directly correlated in the same order, but these are some of the shippers that are using the current rail facilities. And then we did a little research and found that essentially bulk commodities make up 91% of rail freight activity. Food and farm products, grain, food products, fertilizers, energy. The bill does talk about not allowing crude oil, and the next slide is going to get a little bit more into detail about that, and then we'll come back to the use list. But in terms of crude oil, the bill references a section in the RCW's that has the definitions. And so in RCW 90.56.010, there's a definition of crude oil and also a definition of oil or oils. And there, the broader definition of oil or oils includes things that are not listed in the crude oil. So we wanted to get your input on whether you think we should put parameters on that use list before we take this to the advisory committee, or do you want to have them give you input on these additional uses that are oil-based?
So technically the bill excludes
the top definition,
but allows technically.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we want to include all those.
Okay. I'm not sure that we want to not include them all. Some of them.
Yeah, I mean, I could
of
see.
Of course, the 25 degrees of Celsius and 1 atmosphere of pressure.
Well, I'm so talking about gasoline, petroleum, diesel.
Right.
Those people, yeah. oil refuse, waste. I don't think that's, you want to hear the neighbors come out and start screaming?
No.
Yeah. But biological oils, mineral oils, vegetable oils, food products, I mean, that's a different, it's a different conversation.
So what's crude oil, bitumen, synthetic crude oil, natural gas, you know, what are those compared to the other junk that's below?
Well, so those are already excluded under crude oil.
Okay.
And so we wouldn't worry about those. We know we can't do those.
Oh, not limited. Okay, I got you.
So I guess I would like, if we were going to have a conversation about just to start this, that would be where I think we should literally start talking about what we're not going to, what we wouldn't consider allowing.
Yes.
Right.
But if we, and additionally, if we're talking about vegetable oils and mineral oils and things like that are more consumer, you know,
okay.
That's a different conversation.
You can run a diesel car.
That's a different conversation. Yeah. So in the second part, we're talking about oil or oils.
Yes.
I would not consider petroleum, gasoline, fuel oil, diesel oil, biological oils, I think are reasonable, unless they're mixed with any of that other stuff. So I don't know what the market is. Blends, I don't know what a blend might include.
Okay.
So
we'll do some more research. And
you have some ideas.
If it's an energy-related product, it's a no, but if it's...
Food,
that's our point, food right, oil food. Or mineral oils.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. We can go back to the classification list for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This has been very helpful. Thank you.
So the continuation of the bulk items, so construction, there's lumber, steel, stone, sand, and gravel, intermodal is just essentially containerized shipping, so you're going from one mode of transit to the other. And you're not moving the product itself, it's self-contained. Then chemicals and automotive, and we can, I think, look at chemicals and
chemicals
look at hazardous
materials. Chemicals is too broad a word.
Yes, no, I know. Yeah. So we will, I think, we want to try to have things that are not as hazardous, probably, and so we'll look at that. As a parameter.
So I think there are two reasons for that. One is certainly environmental,
sure.
And because we're in the middle of neighborhoods. The other thing we can never lose sight of is Clark County owns this railroad. We have liability. Now, I'm sure that the owners and operators also have insurance, but we need to be constantly aware of our financial vulnerability if we allow some goods to be shipped that can potentially create a higher liability.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about the 4 degrees of hazardous materials?
No.
Okay.
So the next item is the environmental review. We have an existing 2007 EIS that will sort of be the starting point for this, but eventually what SEPA determination, what SEPA review will use or how in-depth will be dependent on the use list that we come up with. And I know from the previous iteration there was, we'll have to do our own review, but it seems like we were looking at a sort of a two-step thing so that when a development application came in, they would carry most of the burden for doing the environmental review sort of on a case-by-case basis. And I think we're still continue going down that path, but the county still will have to do some environmental review up front as part of this process. And we will come back in a work session prior to moving forward with that, the list of uses before we go out to the public, like Colette mentioned earlier. So the next steps is, given your direction, we'd probably going to come back with the amended public participation plan and then begin with the freight rail committee meetings, identify the uses, come back to council in a work session to review that use list before we go out to the public to have open houses, the community input. We'd have to do our Commerce 60-day review, the SEPA review, go to the Planning Commission in both work session and hearing, and then come back to council for work session and hearing to final adoption.
So I have a question about mm-hmm. the SEPA review yes. and the use list. I know mm-hmm. it depends upon what we're going to be putting on the use list, mm-hmm. but what do you think would trigger more review than what we already have, and what a future property owner might have to do in order to use that particular parcel? I'm thinking, you know, originally, it seemed like Oliver said, you know, he gave a figure at the outset that I'm hoping we're not talking about that.
Yeah, I don't think we're looking at doing an EIS, but that's why we would come back when we have the use list. We do sort of an evaluation to see if that's something that's going to trigger what we think is going to be a higher level review beyond what's either already been done or what we can do at sort of a project 10,000 square foot yeah. level.
Because when Oliver gave the original quote, we were looking at it for the 33
the
miles,
whole line.
Things that had
okay.
never been studied under SEPA. And so you now have it constrained to mm-hmm. an area where we've already done SEPA work. So now we're basically supplementing that information as needed.
So I'm wondering, just bringing up the other portion of the line, when do we expect that to happen?
So beyond the,
yes.
I think, well, two things. It'd probably be tied to, so right now we have where it ends in between the city of Battleground, which isn't terribly, there isn't too much of a line there. I mean, we can engage, as part of this process, we'll engage with the city of Battleground to see if they have any interest. I'm thinking they're, like our urban area is already zoned for industrial uses in those areas that are abutting or adjacent to the rail line to take advantage of it through their city limits. And then beyond that, I don't think the track is in sufficient condition to go beyond that. So that'll be something dependent on the grants that we get for improving the rail line going forward.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, what comes first, the cart or the horse? Because if you don't improve the line, there'll be nobody will give a grant to, I mean, if you don't have an overlay, nobody's mm-hmm. going to give a grant to improve the line on the future possibility. Isn't that a possibility that would happen? I mean,
well, it seems like we're getting grants now before
okay.
we have the
right.
overlay. So
okay,
I think WSDOT is at this moment, as long as we're in compliance, is willing to give grants to help improve the overlay. One of the things that we need to do under phase two is we need to amend 40.560, which is the procedures section, where it talks about, you know, if you want to expand the overlay, how do you go about doing it? Kind of like if you want to expand a rural center, what's the process that you need to go through and what our expectations are as an applicant? That's another conversation we're going to have when we come back to you.
Why? Can you explain why? Yeah, what is the why do we have to do that?
Well, in terms of expanding the overlay?
Yes. Well, there's no overlay now.
No. We just put an overlay. Yeah, this is
right.
The tracks have existed since.
But your question was, what about bringing the rest of the line into the overlay?
So what are you saying we have to do?
Create a process.
I'm not questioning what we do. I want to understand why we have to do it.
Let me rephrase it a little bit. You've identified an overlay area on the comprehensive plan map. Okay. And what we're doing in phase two is creating the Title 40 pieces of that.
Right.
Yes. But they mirror each other as to the boundaries.
Yes.
Right. So one is a boundary on the comp plan, and the other is a boundary plus use in the Title 40. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody's going to come in, and they're going to say, "I'd like to be included in that railroad overlay." Well, right now you don't have a process in which to even review it. We would send them away, say, "I'm sorry, there's no process. You know, come back." Mm-hmm. Sometime in the future. So as part of this Title 40 amendment, we're also looking at adding a section in 560, which is the procedure section for annual reviews and dockets and comp plan amendments and mapping changes, to identify how that might look like. Is it going to be an annual review? Let's say.
Where somebody wants to come into it.
Absolutely. So start thinking about that. We're going to try and put some boundaries on that based on what we know, and then we'll have another conversation.
So this is if we would get a request to expand the current overlay, or when we choose to create an overlay on the north part of the rail line.
Yeah, we have to take a comprehensive plan map action, and so how do you go about doing that?
I have a question. Are there some months that you can associate with some of the steps up here, or even seasons?
So when we come back for the PPP, one of the things we'll do is include a scope of work and timeline that we expect to have this done.
Are these sequential on the bullet points on the screen?
They're pretty close.
Pretty close.
Our goal is to have phase two completed by the end of 2018, as soon as we can turn it.
When we did the comprehensive plan, we created a single page within the county's site that had all of the documents and the timeline. And so a citizen could go to one page and see everything and follow the whole process through. I think that would be important to do for this as well. So we have one site where the first presentation that was presented at the open house and at our work session is this one, as documents are created along the way. So having a one stop where we can send people.
Yeah. And we have that set up.
There now.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Great idea.
We're ahead of you for change. This is good.
Next.
And that's all we have for you today. So I'm just going to circle back and wrap up what we thought we heard. We are going to create a advisory committee made up of new members plus the subcommittee members from the past railroad group, and we're going to rename it, and we're going to come up with a timeline, and we're going to come back to you at a board hearing with a updated public participation plan document.
And there was some membership opinions given?
Yes.
And in review of that, we included the Farm Bureau. We included the Parks Advisory Board member, the Neighborhood Association for Brush Prairie.
And a conversation with the Neighborhood Advisory Committee.
And we'll include NAC in our public participation plan. So then we looked at uses, and we're going to pretty much stay away from the energy category. That's what I heard. We would make sure that food processing oils and stuff, something that's really benign, would be included. I think it's in a different category than energy, but we'll double check that.
take a closer look at chemicals.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind our risk level, the environmental concerns.
Yes. So would it be possible for you to relegate that wrap-up to a one-page to send to the council?
Sure.
So that we can put this in our file as we're moving forward.
Sure.
Because we, in work sessions, we have so many things we're dealing with all the time. I frequently ask myself, where do we end up now on this? So this would be a document that it's just informational.
Yep.
Sure.
And it'll help us recall what all we've covered and what the next steps are going to be.
Yep. Jackie's been taking notes while you've been having our conversations today, and we can send those to you.
And I have a question back to the definition, and some that you've taken from the American Heritage Dictionary. I'm hoping that the subcommittee is going to be able to look at this, and the staff doesn't put in there what it is. I think that unable to exist or function is out. Maybe subordinate to, anyway, I think that the committee should look at that. I think we do not want to narrow it so narrow that we hardly have, that we're not going to be able to do any real economic development by doing that.
But we also have to make sure that we're not, that we're staying true to the intention of the legislation, which was
absolutely. I think we should, but unable
dependent
to
on or
function
prefers. Mm-hmm. There was yeah.
Well, and I think in that use of unable to exist or function. So, yeah, without the railroad, this wouldn't be possible. And so that's why we were looking at what how it's being used, and starting from that point and sort of building from there.
But I can see that some industry may be able to do without rail. They could do it by truck. They could do it by some other means. And yet it's better for them to use. It's more economical for them to use rail.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So
yeah. No.
That would meet the criteria.
Yeah. Yeah. But if they're along the line, they must use the rail.
Well, it wouldn't if it says unable to exist.
So as part of the Title 40 amendment where we have the use list, we're going to have to talk about some other things. The definitions is one, okay? The useless is another. We're going to have some site design standards, buffering,
yes,
something
absolutely.
As to how we're going to deal with that. And we're also going to have to deal with transportation. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to get into that today because we're not prepared to have the conversation, but we know it's a hot spot that we're going to have to talk about later.
Okay. And maybe I missed it. Adjacency?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Did I miss it?
I didn't say it.
No, you didn't miss it.
It's kind of a big topic. I didn't see it in any lists up here. That was the kind of the big promise for phase two, right?
Yeah. So that in that process of future overlay revisions, that's where we would address that adjacency. And I mean, currently we started with the 500 feet, so we're going to have to revisit that and really. Clarify what we mean when we look to expand. We're going to have some sort of criteria identified so that.
And that can you go to the slide that talks about steps?
Okay.
So that would be what step would that be in?
That would be part of the Freight Rail Committee meetings when we. Have these discussions about the uses and the codes and what the process is going to be. That's going to be another point.
So it's start in the beginning.
Yes.
Yes. And then council will be able to see the work product at the next work session.
Okay. And to some extent, we've already addressed adjacency because the council adopted an overlay that had a 500-foot basis.
We started with that as a basis.
Right.
This is my understanding.
Right.
So we essentially have a minimum threshold.
Yeah. Yes. Any other questions? You have questions of us? Any more questions of us?
I think we got our questions answered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You did get a copy of the letter from Friends of Clark County.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The letter from Commerce. Did you get that?
Yes.
We did. I think we did.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. Do you want a copy of that?
Can you email it to us?
He did
sure.
want.
Yeah.
Didn't you email it?
It was part of your packet
yeah.
stuff. So
was it?
Yeah.
Well, I thought there was a separate letter.
It might have been a separate.
And it
came
would
in
it
December.
Have come from you?
We would have sent it out.
Yeah. yeah.
But we can resend it. That's
yeah.
easy.
Yeah.
I remember
okay.
reading it. I think
yeah.
that it
I did, too. I'd like to look at it again in this context. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is anybody on the council be interested in train rides from Vancouver to Portland? 10:25 and come back.
What's that?
Not today, but any day of the week. Any day of the week. It's a Cascade run.
Yeah.
At 10:25 and come back by Vancouver. I think I wrote the letter.
Yes, you did. Thank you. I actually get it. It's still on my desk. Can we have?
I'm not going to get through that.
I mean, if we're going to get into some kind of litigation.
So you've been?
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, you're a person.
I've written the
advocate. But we're going to really get all the
things. I think it's a very good idea.
I want to talk to a couple folks right now. Will you be around if I...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Neil.
But I think it does come back to, and she gets economic development too.
So you're saying,
but I think with that, if we let them, then I think we have to let kind of the other side.
I think the other side is Eric Temple and David. It's not CCCU. They are not so concerned with the railroad.
I think they
concerns about everything.
Yeah. No, but I think that will be the public comment. comment and criticism is you let them on, but not us. And that, maybe just deal with that. But that's,
yeah.
I mean, if they're not, but if they, if fucking is not going to be a productive member, then I'm not going to open it up to that if we're not actually gaining their potential buy-in, like you said.
And you know, I wonder if there's a way to communicate that to them, not that I'm offering to do it, but if I am asked to do it, I could.
Or I know that. We choose to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a thought, and I don't, I'm not saying that that's the way to go.
So related to that, David McDonald has called and left me a couple of messages.
Okay.
What
do you want me to make him stop?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind meeting him, talking with him, but wanted to talk to you first and see other things that we can talk about and things we shouldn't talk about, should I not talk to him at all? This can be a follow-up, but just as we're talking about them.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't be talking to you about the current litigation.
And he wasn't. He called about ADUs and left a message about this. So it's not
okay.
But I didn't want to talk about anything because either you get there and you're talking, all of a sudden it's
yeah, right.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah, and he's pretty sharp. I don't know that he would let himself cross that line. So if the two of you can monitor yourselves, go for it.
Okay.
But stay away from the current.
Yeah.
Do you want a train ride? Have you been on Cascades?
Which is that the one?
That's from Eugene's.
I don't know how safe trains are these days.
Across the river, it leaves it.
So I'm waiting.
That's great.
I asked Susan to come up.
I'm here at 10:25.
Some of us.
It's not the same thing.
Thanks for that. So about a 3-hour night window, you have some time to get around that.
This board doesn't really have more of the ones.
They're great, but I want to get you to start talking more about just give me a call.
Okay.
We'll just have some free time. I take C-Tran, 105 or 134 into downtown Portland, then I go to Lincoln Street. In the morning, over 2 hours.
So you won't end
it. Oh, yeah, I got a question. If today, not in the area of the overlay or anything we're talking about, but just on another piece of property, Eric wanted to put a spur line in there, what process would he have to go through?
Process.
That'll be fine.
You know, and this is part of the link.
I can't say I've ever done it.
Start
so I don't,
just using this small.
If it's within,
and,
if it's within some in area.
And all the developments on the water, that's ideal. People are going to be living there, probably working in Seattle.
But otherwise, regulated by land
development. Yeah, I will look and see.
That would be great. I'll see if
like if it was,
it'll probably be a couple months
ML
out.
Property,
okay.
No problem.
Couple of projects at work.
Like we have some smaller.
Well, after May, you can come down
below 205.
Make us wait. Right in trolley.
Oh,
I
was
in trolley.
Okay,
that's part of say it's a scenic trolley ride north
of. Do you want guidance on that?
We brought a line.
You guys say you already. So you have to.
How well? How far?
Once kids are out of school, maybe we'll do kids up?
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking. Yeah.
I throw one if I do a personalized.
If you go like to a show a property a quarter mile away,
well, usually you gotta have to go outside the right of way to their warehouse.
The Morse code. And in the 1880s, they invented it.
It would probably be looped in with whatever is triggering this first environment.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
But if there was an existing warehouse. See, like right now, right?
Our other side of
205 on Andreessen, I guess 72nd, there's two big warehouses right adjacent to the railroad that they don't have the line going to. So if they wanted to put it in line, what would the process be?
And then his daughter, when she's three, on the same seat.
Oh, wow. So that's cool.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Good thing. They're operational, but they've never used the rail.
That's not railroad.
So after
it's not in the overlay.
It's
adjacent to the overlay.
It's all the way almost down to Costco. You know when you go across 205 on Andreessen, turns into 72nd.
Yeah,
right before the road turns, it's those two big buildings right on the side.
Exactly. It's kind of funny. I've been there. That's
crossing. Yes,
this is what I'm talking about. So I think as we go through,
is it still the
process of?
Well, that's another question. But if it was,
Is it the north side of the railroad?
Yes.
Because the railroad crosses 72nd.
And it was the only
one I know. Where it crosses
the railroad out of there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be in the overlay?
Great. That's where
it's
we
not in the overlay.
This is south of the overlay.
It's
south.
There is the past. So.
Only that little area.
So it doesn't go that
direction.
Far.
They're going. Now the question for us is
south.
How do we expand that?
Yeah.
I call it north, but railroad kind of goes east at that point in time. So it'd be north of it.
Think of those things because some guy's going to come in and he's going to say, "Hey, I've got this building. I want you to bring it."
Well, it's
zoned
industrial, right?
Huh? Yeah.
Light industrial. Light industrial.
Road modifications.
So that would just be a part of
just did that, and then just very basic design standards where it was here's a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't. But I've never seen anything in the code that says this is what you do to extend a rail line. Might good time to talk about it.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's the northbound I-5 exit ramp and the left-hand turn movement to Fairgrounds. That's the worst one.
So when we finished 10th, how does that impact that?
They tell me it doesn't impact the model hardly at all because everybody is headed to the fairgrounds across 179. We would almost have to put a transportation in place where they couldn't go that way. And that's very interesting.
Once they can go come up from like Sam Creek, Philida, and not get an I-5 out, they don't think that impacts it at all?
So far they don't. The transportation folks told me that the original traffic model was not a full energy replacement. But since then, WashDOT's backed off on that. They had to go back and recount and recalibrate the model, which is what's taking so long as they're out of distribution square. They couldn't use the old numbers. So we're not even going to have the numbers to look at until June, they're saying now. We may not even have CFP. Numbers till the end of this year, and at that point we can say, well, is it reasonably funded? And we've lost all of the debt money. So I don't have happy news for you, but that's kind of what this afternoon's meeting is all about. It's like, here's this Gantt chart of all these things.
What's this afternoon's meeting?
There's a meeting with Killian, his folks, Council Olson, and Public Works, attorneys, kind of goes through.
What time is that?
I don't remember. kids at 3 o'clock.
So this plan of 2 hours, I'm going to meet at 4.
Okay. You pop in and kind of get flavor?
I'll just catch up with Shelby afterwards because I have some other stuff.
It's not clean, though. I mean, I guess that's a flavor I'm going to leave it to you.
Yeah.
But,
well, and
I don't know.
I would rather we get it right. Taking a little bit longer means it gives us one more time to think about what kind of sub area plan or what kind of mini sub area plan do we put in place that it's not a terrible thing.
Well, it's all coming down to money. Okay, so I asked the question, if we were using the 15-year alignment and 10th improvements, would that take trips off of interchange? The answer I was told is no. So the interchange is the worst part.
Right.
We're going to have to come off some other funding mechanism besides what we currently have now. We're probably going to have to advance the funding. And
Yes. I'm sorry about that. I was told I actually came in here at just after 8 o'clock to reset the room.
Yeah, they had a webinar going on.
But they had something going on. Yeah, right. So
they probably didn't tell you.
They probably didn't tell you that there was an 8 o'clock meeting.
Yeah, nobody said to come in.
Sorry. No, it's okay. I just gave me some exercise. I'm gonna contact the people that had it, just so they make sure they look ahead to see.
Okay.